In him was life, and that light was the light of men. Those who dwelt in darkness have seen a great light. The word of God is life. The word of God brings light. Experience the wisdom, presence, and the power of Jesus Christ through the ministry of his servant, Jonathan Lagan. Welcome to Pneumatech.
Strength to strength, each one that appears before God in Zion. I'd like you to know that you are before the presence of the King of Kings. Where you are right now is the highest honor that can happen to a man. People prepare when they go to see presidents, head of states, governors, and other political dignitaries. But the God that we serve is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one that never disappoints, the one that blesses, the one that lifts, the one that empowers, the one that refreshes, the one that will never allow his children to seek him in vain. In the next few minutes, we are going to pray in the Spirit. I'd like you to draw strength from the Lord tonight as you pray. As you pray, I'd like you to open up your heart. We have come to Mount Zion, the place where God upgrades men, the place where God grants us access to experience his power, his presence, to behold his face. You never come to this place and live the same. If you can, just hold the hands of your neighbor by your left and right. And in the next few minutes, I want you to lift your voice if you can and pray in the Spirit. I'd like you to pray knowing that your spirit is being enlarged as you pray, knowing that you are drawing strength from the throne of God, knowing that the grace of God is being released upon you. Open your mouth, pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Arabashata Ramakati Ramakarianosha. Rabashate Berodosoto Maradahasi. Lekebo Soprotongo Sabrahate Manzi Mahadias. Come on, do it from the depth of your being. Aradabashita Baradi. We are changed from glory to glory. We are changed from glory to glory. We move from grace to grace, from faith to faith, from strength to strength. Arabasa pata bakosia bahata le barusia. Ila barake pasuya manda prate. Me prete ke barusa baratana bahala supri hadabana. Le pradosha pa somebody pray. Raise your voice, come on, raise your voice. Draw strength from the throne room. Let your spirit be enlarged. Baba baha kete baha suda baha kariatana reke pata poroso porogodosia mene barosi bahata brakateba ke parusha hata brande ke pradusa membre keta abra sola balia soda. Please pray, something is happening to your spirit. There is a re-engineering going on. A work of transformation is going on right now. Pray and be transported to higher dimensions, higher realms of possibilities, higher realms of grace. Arapasokoto bahaziyama. Lepreke basubrahana makatea. Eparusi kebrananda shebaroda. Kela maroso torokoponias. Make sure you are praying. Make sure you are praying. Abanabashi Amadabasa. Ekebadoshi Kombela Bovahata. Memerokotora. Radido Sotobra Hade Kebra. Rogobobo Soto. Lekeba Rabahata Pasi Kabra Adekea. Ida Basha Made Breketema Surya Bada. Shembrekema Hazo Morodos. Eke paso toro gomosia. Eka bada hasi amaka bala hari amados. Eke moso tora dama rate ke barusa. Le poro so tore ke bahasane. Ke barakata bala kate vero gomos. Eka bada luhasu bala hate. Iba rosi amada. Let the heavens be open. Let the heavens be open. Let the heavens be open. Arabasa Toriananda. Let the weight of your glory be revealed. Let your face shine upon us. Manifest yourself, O God, in our midst, through our lives and through our lives. Arabakatebaso.
Forever and ever you reign. Forever and ever you reign. Forever and ever and ever. Somanta shebra hatamanda rosa mekromanto scopra teba lucia prata perusha banda rata capalia cosa prate keba kiba karadanda boko sombra neva mele berra tamara ati soprodo toma la baharrakia mem popta kalade poro supra di keba sora I kapalia naso dobre negas. We behold you tonight. We behold your face tonight. We want the taste of your power, of your grace.
You are mighty on your throne. 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 Jesus.
What is happening is that your faith in the Spirit is increasing, that you are receiving the capacity to receive from God on a higher scale, receiving the capacity to contain higher dimensions of that which is available. That's why we pray. And I want us to pray a prayer that the Lord has been putting in my heart right from last night, and I want you to pray it as a matter of life and destiny. Psalm 71, verse 16 to 18. It says, I will go in the strength of the Lord. I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. He said, now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. I'd like you to take 2-3 minutes to pray tonight. You are going to take this time to contend for higher levels of results. The prayer is, oh God, may my life produce greater results. Are you ready to pray? Listen, the Bible says in John chapter 4 and in verse 42 that the people of the city of Samaria, when they came because of what the woman said to them, they came to Jesus, and after hearing Jesus, here was what they said to the woman. They said, now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. He said, now we believe, not because of what you have said, but because we have seen with our own eyes. The world must see the power of God manifest in and through your life. The world must see greater levels of the grace of God at work. It has to go beyond Bible studies. It has to go beyond just listening to a nice sermon or a nice teaching every week. oh God, may my life produce greater levels of results. Is somebody ready to contend tonight? In the next 2 minutes, I'd like you to lift your voice and cry to Him. If you are tired of where you are, if you know that there is more of God that you can see and experience in your life, if you know that there is more to the power, the grace, the glory, the greatness of God that men can witness in and through your life, if you know that God has created your life as a testimonial to His power, to His glory, I'd like you in 2 minutes to contend tonight. Whether you are online or you are on site here, oh God, may my life produce greater levels of results, unending dimensions of wonders, of signs, of miracles. Is somebody praying tonight? Make sure you are praying. Make sure you are praying wherever you are. Sharabato brateke malazate bragadas. Kira basuta bane basoto mambreketa mandre. E pratombra kita banda supra tema. Zeke palora tema rato kobariata. I want to see your power. I want to declare your wonderful works. I want to see your grace manifest through my life. More of your power, more of your grace. Greater dimensions of you. Somebody contend. Greater levels of results. There is more, there is more. There is more I can see. Te paruse ke marudiata, iva lanche prete mongratama, imarusia pariatana. I ask for more, I cry for more. There is more, there is more, there is more. By your spirit, by your spirit, by your spirit. Sotobo lama katianas. Seleke barato sobarahadea. Ila barakate monzo korasuda. More love. More power. More of you in my life. More. Somebody here, I don't know whether it's here or online, you have pains around your lower abdomen. Just place your right hand there. The pain is going right now. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke that discomfort. In the name of Jesus. There's somebody experiencing discomfort with urination. When you urinate, you are experiencing discomfort. Sometimes pain, some form of discomfort around that area of your body. But God is healing you right now. And in the name of Jesus, we rebuke every pain. And every sickness in this atmosphere leaves by the power that is in the name of Jesus Christ. This is the house of God, and this is the place of healing and deliverance. Therefore, we declare that everyone that is under any affliction, the Lord set you free right now. In the name of Jesus. Now, Father, tonight we have come again. We know that you are always making things new. And tonight, do something new in our lives. Let your word come forth with power, with grace, with wisdom. Open us to greater dimensions of the knowledge of you. May our strength increase tonight. And may your name be glorified. In the name of Jesus Christ. One more word before we sit down. The Lord spoke to me this afternoon. This is a word for somebody here. And if you know you are that person, you claim it by a shout of amen. It's not for everybody, but the Lord spoke to me this afternoon while I was on my table. And he said, I am the God of the 11th hour. You know, listen, when we come for meetings like this, our expectations differ as our faces are different. And God is always in the business of meeting every person according to their expectation. I don't know who is here. Perhaps you are believing God for something. It looks like it has delayed for long. And being that we are already at the end of the year, your hopes are already dashed away. God said, I should tell you that He's the God of the 11th hour. In other words, get ready to see the manifest power, presence, and the grace of God at work in your life like never before. Everything that has stood in your way as a mountain, God is lifting it tonight in the name of Jesus. You remember the parable that Jesus gave, the parable of the vineyard? At the beginning of the day, the owner of the vineyard found some men and he agreed with them to work in his vineyard, and they went to work. Much later, he found another group, made a bargain with them, and they went to work. The Bible says, at the 11th hour, he found some people still standing somewhere. He said, why are you standing idle? They said, no man has employed us. And then he says, go and work in my vineyard, and whatever you like, I will pay you. And the Bible says, when it was time to pay them their wages, those who had worked from morning were paid the same as those who worked last. I don't know how long you have been waiting on God. Perhaps miracle services have escaped you. You came tonight to receive that word. That in the name of Jesus, may the God of the 11th hour show up for you. May the God of the 11th hour show up for you this season. May God put men, systems, and structures under pressure until you are favored and settled in this season. In the name of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? Wave your hands and give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name. I tell you, that is a word for somebody. And may the name of God be glorified by the things He will do in our lives today. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Please take your seat in the presence of God. It's my honor and privilege to welcome us to Pneumatech again. The place of bread, the bread of the presence of God, the bread of His word, the place where your soul is nourished, where your spirit is enlarged, and where your body is transformed. The place where God is in the business of making giants, champions that will reveal His kingdom, His power, and His glory for the world to see. I welcome you tonight to Pneumatech, online and on site. And tonight is a special night. Get ready for the things that the Lord will do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to teach tonight on what I title, Knowing God Intimately. Knowing God Intimately. Glad that we took our time to pray, to contend for results. I'd like you to realize that the end of everything that is happening here is that your life will become the proofs, living testimonies of the things that God professes through His Word in this place. God wants to make you an epitome of His presence, of His goodness, that a time will come when men will look at your life, and by reading your life, it is enough gospel to save the sinner and to strengthen the faith of the righteous. That your life will become an expression of the power and the grace of God. That you become a vessel that God uses to reveal dimensions of Himself. This is why we are here. And it all depends on the results that your life produces at different seasons in your walk with God. The Bible says that the path of the just is like a shining light that shines more and more to a perfect day. More and more. You must not remain on one level of results. No. The possibilities in the kingdom are not just many, but they vary in degrees. That you can move from one step to another, from one dimension to another, from one level to another. When men think that they have seen all that God can do through your life, they come to behold you again, and your life is just an unending unfolding of wonders and signs, an unending flow of signs and wonders. Your life becomes the very message that men need to look at, through which God is revealed. And in as much as we took time to pray to contend for that, and I want you to really be desperate about a life with results, because I tell you the truth, you will save yourself a lot of explanations. Over time, there should be evidences that you are walking with God. Over time, there should be proofs in your life. People should look at you and not ask twice if you are a Christian. In fact, they shouldn't even ask if you are a Christian. They should be wondering, what kind of a believer is this? I and the children that the Lord has given to me, the Bible says, they are for signs and wonders. I don't know about you, but I will never live an ordinary life. I will never. I refuse to be ordinary. However, as we contend to see results, to see the workings of God's power, to see the fulfillment of God's promises in our lives, I'd like you to understand that it takes time for these things to be produced. As you walk with God, you must be patient till the season of fruitfulness. The Bible says that the remnant of the house of Judah shall escape and take root downward, and then bear fruit upwards. When God is working on you, you don't produce results every day. No, no. There is always a sign of the living presence of God at work in your life. The Bible says, whose leaves shall not wither. The reason why the leaf is not withering is because there is a sign of life. Is that true? When you see a tree or a plant that is greenish, it's a sign of life. It is a sign that it has the potential to be productive. It is also a sign that every system within that plant is working. However, the seasons of bearing fruit, notice that they are seasons. It takes time for these seasons to manifest. So when you walk with God, you must be patient to allow God school you enough, to allow God teach you His ways. Let your root be downward as far as the Word of God and the operations of the Spirit is concerned, so that when the seasons of fruitfulness comes, your result will be clearly distinguished from that of Jannes and Jambres. Because I hope you know that the devil too can fake certain levels of signs and wonders. But when your root is deep in God, when you allow your spirit and your soul to grow in the knowledge of God, in the seasons of fruitfulness, it will be clear, the demarcation line will be clear, that this result can only be produced by God with a man. Nicodemus told Jesus, he says, we know that you are a teacher sent from God. He never introduced himself as a teacher. They say, but we have looked at your life and we know we are all teachers, but we know that you are a teacher sent from God. For no man can do this except God be with him. It takes time, and so you must learn to be patient with God. God is shifting you to a higher level of results. I want you to believe that God is shifting you to a higher platform of spiritual operations. The signs and the wonders that you have seen God do in your life, what you are about to see will dwarf what you have seen before now. Your life will become a testament of the power, the grace, and the glory of God. Any situation in your life that has mocked the God you serve, that situation is about to change to become a testimony that the world will hear. If you believe it, shout a better amen. If you believe it, let your amen be louder. In Jesus' name. Let's get to the word of God. Knowing God intimately. Are you ready tonight? Knowing God intimately. John chapter 17 verse 3. This is going to be more of a practical teaching tonight, and then we'll spend some time to pray and soak in the presence of God. John 17 verse 3. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. In other words, this is the summary of the Christian faith. Eternal life, which is the life of God manifested in man. Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they will know you. A life in man that will propel them into the knowledge of God. Why is God interested in our knowing him? Very simple. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, don't go there. Okay, you can go there. 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says that we with unveiled faces. Unveiled means that the veil has been lifted. The veil of ignorance. Ignorance of the knowledge of God. Ignorance of the ways of God. Ignorance of the potentials that exist in the life of God. When that veil is lifted, the Bible says, as a mirror, we will behold the glory of the Lord. Can I have two people? Can I have two people come quickly? Yes, yes, sir. Please come. Come. I want to explain this scripture. And we are being transformed into the same image. So what would bring us into the transformation of his image, which is Jesus Christ, is that we are able to behold him. Now watch this. Just stand here, sir. And face this way. Yes. You come here. Stand and turn and face me. Can I have one more person? A lady, preferably. A lady, preferably. Yes, please come. Don't worry, it's not invitation, okay? It's just, God just gave me this illustration this afternoon. Stand the same way with him. I want to show you why God wants you to know him. Now, let's say I am God. All right? Turn and look at me, sir. Put that scripture for us. It says that we with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord there is the fullness of God, which was manifested in Jesus Christ. So this is God manifesting as Jesus. This is a believer. The Bible says that when he beholds the glory of God, what will happen to him? He will be changed. A natural mirror, when he looks at the mirror, what will happen? He sees himself, isn't it? But the mirror of the glory of God, what happens when he looks is that he is transformed. That means there are spiritual energies diffused to him to change his state, to alter his appearance as he keeps beholding the glory of the Lord, just like you look at a mirror. The end is so that he can be transformed into the same image. That means that he will look like me exactly, from glory to glory. If he was looking at a natural mirror, all he will see is himself, isn't it? Now turn and look at them. Who are you seeing? Him, isn't it? You are seeing Timothy, right? Turn and look at me, sir. But if it is the glory of God he's beholding, he is changed to the same image. So when he turns and look at them, who are you seeing? Me. Do you understand that scripture? Go and sit down. God bless you. God bless you. That means every time you encounter God, something changed. There's something about you that died, and there's something of God that is now visible for all to see. Now, the problem with many believers is we don't understand that this is the transformation that is going on. So most times, in the limitations of our mind, once in a while the devil will try to surround us or remind us of certain physical circumstances around our lives that have not changed. Meanwhile, God is not interested in changing those situations. God is interested in changing you so that you can now change the situation. Because the reason why God rested on the seventh day was because on the sixth day he created another creator that will continue from where he stopped. Unknown to that believer, every time he or she encounters God, there is something about him or she, or he or her, him or her that has died, and there is something about God that is now revealed. So when people look at that believer, they don't see that person again. They see that person in the light of the glory of God. So here you are, still feeling limited, still looking at some natural limitations that you have, and rating and placing value on yourself based on those limitations. Unknown to you, people are no longer seeing those limitations, because there is a transformation that has happened to you. What they now see is the Christ in you. Do you understand that? So what you will now, you need to have the mentality they have. It is only you that is seeing the limitations around you. It is only you that is seeing that you are short. It is only you that is seeing that you are not enough. But what they are seeing, because you have beheld the glory of God and you are changed to the same image, what they are seeing is God in a man. God manifesting through a man. A life of signs and wonders. So the reason why you are not moving in signs and wonders is because you have limited your faith based on your ignorance. And that ignorance is only existing in your mind. Between God and the people, what they are seeing is a different species. The angel looked at Gideon, not even God, an angel. He said, God is with you, thou mighty man. This is an angel coming from the presence of God, looking at a man underground, threshing, you know, wheat, afraid that they may come and take everything from him. And the angel that is coming from the presence of God is telling that man, in the midst of his situation, God is with you, thou mighty man. He said, to the intent that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to even principalities and powers. Your life is a specimen. Your life is a report card. If only you can look through the eyes of the Spirit, you will see the level of grace, the results, the wonders, the signs, the great deeds that God is already doing through your life. You know, in a process, you will not have the understanding of the process. It is after the process that you gain understanding of the process. But in the midst of the process, you can't fully understand it because you are still in the process. Are you hearing me at all? That's the reason why when you are going through the fire, God will not explain much. The only thing he will tell you is, I'm with you. Because even if he explains to you, you won't even understand. come out of the process first. That's when you can now study. Those of you that went to the university, you did project in your final year. When you were searching for materials to get your project, you saw people who had done their own project, possibly from 90 something, 2005, 2007. Even the year before you came, you will see a project there. I hope you know that when you finish and submit and graduate from that school, someone else will come to that level where you were and will have to look at what you have done to understand. When you were studying on that thing, you didn't have the full understanding. You stopped at a point. But someone else is studying where you stopped, and everything now makes sense to the person because what you were doing was captured in a process. Tell your neighbor, in the process there is no understanding, but after the process, understanding is gained. You just keep walking with God. Don't check. Allow the work of transformation to go on. I was preaching somewhere recently and I said the Lord told me this, that it is in your weakest state that you are most yielded. It is in your weakest state. Based on my practical experiences with God in my little life, I've seen that most times when you feel down, that is when you are at the eve of a breakthrough. I've seen that most times when you feel inadequate, that's when you are the most adequate. He said, for our sufficiency is not of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God who has made us able. It's not you. It's Him that is at work through you. And so the summit of everything as far as the life of a believer is concerned is that we will know Him. He said that they may know you, the only God, and Jesus whom you have sent, the practical and human expression of that God. John chapter 14 verse 21. One more scripture and then we'll get into the lesson for the day. John chapter 14 verse 21. He said, He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. This is talking about a level of relationship that a man will have with God, where God, he transcends beyond an abstract knowledge of God to a practical experience of what is known. He says that he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him. Yes, it's not just enough to know that God loves you. You need to come into the experience, the practicality of that love. It has to be simulated in your life. The things of God will best be understood when they are experienced. He said, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. First of all, who is God? God is love. He said, I will love him and manifest myself. That means not only when I love him, he knows that I love him, but for him to go beyond head knowledge to a living proof, living experience, I will have to manifest myself to him. So he doesn't just know that God is love, he sees God in his life. It will show in how he was saved. It will show in how that family was delivered. It will show in how God can pick a man from the dunghill, help him to a point where he's enthroned with princes. It will show. That's the reason for the workings of God in your life. That's the reason for the results, that I will manifest myself. And then you can take this message to your world that God is love. How do you know? My life is a proof. Knowing God intimately. Please hear this. The knowledge of God is systematized into the following. Systematized. So you understand what a system is? different functional aspect of a thing. A system is the functional unit of a thing. So when a thing is working, it has different systems that make it work. Functional units. The knowledge of God is systematized into the following. That means I got it now. That's what the unction can do. The Bible says, for you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. 1 John 2:20. Is that true? Ye have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. So I didn't even consult the dictionary, and I got it spot on. Say hallelujah. Alright, now let's focus. The knowledge of God, please pay attention this night, because many questions will be answered today. Many of us will our experience with God will be articulated today. You will now know what, why and what it means to pursue God, to walk with God. This is the teaching. It says the knowledge of God is systematized into the following. That means that knowing God has been captured in different systems. In your approach to know God, there are different aspects of the knowledge of God that you will acquaint yourself with. Number one, His nature. To claim that you know God, number one, you must know His nature. His nature is who God is. Who is God? When last were you asked that question before? You know, we don't have too many atheists in Nigeria. Even the unbelievers know that there is God, because our witchcraft will not allow us to rest. But when you travel to places like Europe, Asia, communist nations like Russia and the rest, especially, you know, the combination of civilization apart from the knowledge of God, and the fact that over time the knowledge of God has been on a decline in those parts of the world. I was talking with one of our brothers. I'm sure he's watching now. He's in the US, and he told me that these are the things he encounters on a daily basis. That people don't even know what God is. That when you mention God, it's a term. It's not a reality that they live with. It's a term. So to them, anything that a man upholds is his God. That God is the pigment of your imagination or the frame of your belief. And some of you, God will send you to those nations as ambassadors. That's why you must listen to this teaching. How do you approach someone who doesn't even know anything about God with the gospel? You know what we play in Africa now is there's a fusion now between churchianity. That's the culture. It's not Christianity, it's churchianity. When we have hung around church for a long while, we know how to pray, how to shout, how to do these things, but no personal direct contact with God. No intimacy with God. What we are practicing is churchianity. If they pick you like that now and drop you in a place where atheism is, you know, is in vogue, how do you communicate the gospel of salvation to those kind of people? When you meet somebody and say God loves you, and the person say, who is God, please? What will you say? So when, how often do we ask ourselves this question? Because you see, this is what will help us grow in our knowledge of God. We are born of God many a times, but our knowledge of God is deficient. So representing God is done with so much anxiety and with so much limitation. And this is for this purpose that we have this teaching tonight. The nature of God is the first aspect of God that you must acquaint yourself with in the knowledge of God. The nature of God is who God is. God is spirit. So if you know that the nature of God is that he is spirit, then it means you need to understand how a spirit lives. Who is a spirit? How does a spirit behave? What frame of existence do you find a spirit? One of the things you will know about a spirit is that a spirit is not bounded by time. Number one. Number two, spirits don't die. Now, these two basic facts I've just given you about a spirit can change the course of the knowledge of God that you have. That means that if a spirit is not bounded by time, it means that God, who is spirit, is not bounded by time. So it doesn't matter if you have waited 10 years for the promise of God. As far as God is concerned, he's not late. But you feel late because you are bounded by time. Meanwhile, the God who promised you, you didn't understand that his nature is that his spirit is not bounded by time. Am I talking to you today? Or God comes to Bishop and says, I will give you a son. And in his mind, the baby in his wife's womb is going to be a male child. God is spirit. For you to understand what God says, you must understand his nature first. When the spirit says, I will give you a son, first of all, he didn't tell you when. You will need to find out when. Next is, he didn't tell you how. You need to find how. Because you can keep giving birth and after four children, all of them are girls, you feel disappointed that God betrayed you, God lied to you. Meanwhile, God said, I will give you a son. God can decide that that son will come from your loins, or he can decide that it will be an adopted, come sir, it will be an adopted child. That somewhere in this life, you will meet a younger man whom you will impart and whom God will use in your old age as a consolation to you. Is that not a son? You remember what Jacob told? Sorry, just stand there. Not Jacob. Just stay, sir. The husband of Anna, Elimelech. When Anna kept throwing tantrums about a child, and you know all that, she couldn't get a child and all of that. You know what Elimelech told her one day? He said, "What's your problem? Is it not God that gives children?" He said, am I not worth more than 20 sons to you? I hope you know the meaning of Elimelech is God is king. Within that context, it was God that was talking to her. Another thing is, God didn't tell you whether it's going to be a biological son or a spiritual son. He just said, I will give you. Go and sit down. Thank you, sir. So you see, the problem we have is why a lot of believers become disappointed, end up disappointed or discouraged. It's not that the promises of God are lies or that God is not able to bring to pass the things he has said. No, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 1:20 that the promises of God are yea and in him, amen. It's just that you need to know the nature of the one who spoke. Because he speaks from his nature and from his realm, his frame of reference, his frame of existence. You need to see as he sees. How does a spirit see? When he spoke to Abraham and his seed, Abraham thought it was Isaac. It wasn't Isaac. In fact, Abraham thought it was Ishmael. It wasn't Ishmael. He thought it was Isaac. It still wasn't Isaac. The Bible tells us in Galatians 3 that seed was Jesus Christ, who came thousands of years later. God is spirit. The Abraham he gave the promise to died and didn't live to see. That's what Hebrews 11 says. These all died, not receiving the promise, but confessing afar. So the question was God faithful? Yes. Did he keep his promise? Yes. So if God tells you, I will make you a millionaire, you need to know that the God that is speaking to you, he speaks as a spirit. He speaks to you and your seed. Maybe that millionaire will come in the fourth generation. It's still you. Because as far as God is concerned, what comes out from your loins is still you. The Hebrew word for son is a literal expression of the same. Okay, let's look at ministry and business. God tells you, I will give you a multi-million dollar conglomerate. Is that true? Wonderful. Now, in his mind now, no, let me use you. You are a financial apostle. Come, let me use you now. Thank you, sir. God says, I will build you a multi-million dollar conglomerate, business conglomerate, isn't it? And you are going to take my love and my kingdom to the ends of the earth using financial resources. That's a powerful prophecy. In his mind now, he feels it's going to happen next month. So he goes on a 3 days dry fast. Because he heard that you can pray the promise and purposes of God and prophecies into manifestation. And he goes on that marathon fast thinking that next month it will land. Meanwhile, when God speaks to you, when the Spirit talks to you, the first thing to do is rejoice. You receive it with joy first. You know why? Because joy is the same environment from whence that Spirit spoke. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. In your presence is the fullness of. So when you receive the word of the Spirit of God with joy, you are telling him, I believe what you have said. Because he sees an atmosphere of his presence with you now. The next thing to do is go back and pray and inquire how. Don't start betting the prophecy because you don't even understand it. It may be that he is going to work for 20 years building it. And after 20 years, he will pass away. God forbid, you are still going to live long. And then a son of his will come. By that time, it has become a multi-million dollar conglomerate. Did God keep his promise? Yes. Go and sit down. Now, we are just at the first stage. Oh. The knowledge of God is systematized into the following. Please be seated. Number one, his nature. If you don't understand the nature of God, you can't claim that you know God. Number two, his character. How God behaves. Do you know that your characters are the long manifestations of your thoughts? Every thought is the seed for your words. Your words are the seed for your action. You know what a seed is now. You plant it so that it can grow and become a harvest, isn't it? Your thoughts are the seed for your words. Your words are the seed for your actions. Your actions will give birth to habits. Your habits will give birth to character. Trace it back. Thought. And then it is your character that now determines your destiny. So destiny is character associated. So if God says he has destined you to be a preacher, you will need to develop the character of that prophecy before you enter there. You miss that. His character is how God behaves. You need to know how he behaves. How does he speak? How does he love? How does he fight? How does God connect with people? How does God look at people? God looks at a man and says, you are father of many nations. From where? The man at that point didn't have a child. God said, for I have made you a father of many nations. I have, at least if he say, I will make you, at least we have something to hope in. But this one has gone beyond hope. He said, for I have made you. Meanwhile, you are barren, but I have made you. So carry that name, father of many nations. It's his character. You need to understand the character of God, because the character of God is consistent with his words. Number three, the knowledge of God is systematized into his ways. His ways is how God acts. First of all, his nature, who God is, his character, how God behaves. Number three, his ways, how God acts. That means his methods, his divine patterns. God has patterns by which he works. God can create a new thing, but the pattern for creation is not new. The pattern can be the same. So if God says, behold, I will do a new thing, if that's a word he speaks to you, you need to go and check his pattern of doing new things. How did he do it? Go back to creation. When there was no life, how did he create everything? Through his word. For through faith we understand, Hebrews 11:3, that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things that are were not made by things which are visible. But there was a pattern. The things that were created were new, but the pattern was old. Are you getting it today? Is it boring to you? You need to understand this. So this understanding is the mystery behind every great man you find in the kingdom. As detailed as you see it, this is it. His patterns. If you understand the patterns of God, you can predict the workings of God on your own. You can enter a new year. If you understand God's pattern, you will know that that year has existed before you entered it. And by the pattern, you will know how January will look like. I called a woman this morning who was celebrating her 34th birthday today to pray for her. I began to pray and rebuke death. I'm sure she was surprised and she didn't even ask me. And you know, that's the problem. You just go around a man of God and receive the blessing and run away. You don't ask. Even sometimes, some jokes that they crack. Why did he say this? Was he just joking? No. You don't know what it means to be a man of God. A pastor can joke, but you don't know what it means to be a man of God. A man of God means God's mouthpiece. There is energy tied to his joke. It can become real, so he doesn't joke. Why are you 34 and I'm praying against death? Reason is because according to scriptural pattern, today she's 34. From tomorrow she steps into her 35th year, isn't it? Study the 35th chapters in the Bible. You'll discover a few of them where people died. They were cut off in their prime. Genesis 35, Rachel died in childbearing. Psalms 35, it talks about numerous kinds of attacks that God will deliver him from. 2 Chronicles 35, the last good king of Judah, Josiah, died. And he died young. He died in his 30s. That means according to spiritual patterns, death will wait for you at your 35th year. But she doesn't know. But it is predicted how. This is how prophecy. This is the science of prophecy. Prophecy is not just a mystery drop. No, it can be studied. It can be understood. You can master it. I wish I was talking about divine patterns. I would have shown you four different kinds of patterns in scripture. Numerical patterns are just one of them. And with these patterns, you can sew a thin line from the past, the present, to the future, all through scripture. And you can see the singular workings of God and interpret it in our dispensation to say, okay, at this time, this is what will happen. This is why this is happening in this family. This is why we are going through this now. Why? Patterns. All of that is under his ways. He said, the Bible says in Psalms 103, he revealed his ways to Moses his patterns to Moses, but his acts to the children of Israel. So that's why the children of Israel, all they were concerned with was getting a miracle. But they were blind to the fact that no miracle came the same way. No two miracle came the same way. The first time, speak to the rock, it will bring out water. He spoke, water came out. Sorry, hit the rock and it will bring out water. The second time, speak to the rock, don't need to hit it. But he hit it again and God was angry. Why? Because Moses violated divine patterns. What was it about that act that God could not forgive him? No. It was because Moses didn't know that his walk with God had brought him to a point where his life will now be x-rayed in the future to find a revelation of divine patterns. That you can study the life of Moses and be able to predict the workings of God. If God will raise a prophet amongst his people, this is how he will look. Moses violated the pattern and God said, no, because of this you won't enter. Because if you enter the promised land, in the future, if a prophet is studying you, what he will see is that you can make mistakes with God. You can misbehave and God will still be consistent. No. And he said, I am the Lord God, I change not. It was because of that that God said you won't enter. When you claim to know God, you must know his ways. How does he work? For instance, the God we serve works mysteriously. So don't need to bother yourself on how the job will come. If God said I will give you a job, forget about the how. Actually, because he can do it anyhow. If God speaks to you as a student and say, this semester you will not fail. And after this semester's exam, by next session, you now discover that you passed all the courses but you failed four. Question is, did God lie? No, he didn't lie. You didn't fail. You would have gotten a weaker grade. So he gave you carryover so that when you write it again, you will get an A. It's not, don't view it from when you got that result. View it from when you finally are graduating. That what people looked at as an F now becomes an A. And he's still true to his word that you will not fail. Pray in the spirit for 1 minute. Pray in the spirit for 1 minute. Paro shakila sovrene do la hasada balahate kobranida. Ilya ranamash. So let the weight of your glory cover us, and let the light of your river flow. Let this truth of the kingdom reign in us. Let us know your ways. Let the weight of your glory, let the weight of your glory fall. Number four, the knowledge of God is systematized into the following. Number four, his will. His will. So knowing God captures, number one, his nature. Number two, his character. Number three, his ways. Number four, his will. When you touch these four aspects, you can claim that at that level, you know God. What is his will? His will is his predetermined counsel. God's predetermined counsel. Or his purpose for all things created. His predetermined counsel. Ephesians 1 verse 9 to 11. In other words, even before he created all life, he has scripted what they will be. Predetermined. Something has been existing about you before you ever existed. It's called the predetermined counsel. It is the will of God. You submit to your will. It is from your will you make decisions. Your will is the faculty in you responsible for making decisions. Even your spirit will need to influence your will for it to decide in favor of your spirit. So God's decision concerning our lives will always be in keeping with his predetermined counsel. What he has scripted about your life even before you were created. Do you have Ephesians 1, 9 to 11? He said, having made known to us the mystery of his will. Mystery meaning that it is hidden. And so it must be sought after to be revealed. According to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. That in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. Go on. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things, or who manipulates everything according to his will. So why are we existing? Why were there generations before us? The Bible says God had a will before he created anything. The will was that everything he will create will find their resemblance from his son, Jesus Christ. Whether it is an animal or a plant. Didn't he call himself the Lion of Judah? Didn't he call himself an eagle? As an eagle stirreth her nest and picketh her young, so the Lord led him. Nothing was created as a waste. The Bible says all things in heaven and on earth. Even cars, inanimate things. We live in a generation where there are fast cars. V6 engine, V8, there's even V12 engine. Abi? You don't know. You are not planning to buy good cars then. You want to stay with V4, V6. Golf. Who said golf? We are talking about Rolls Royce and Maybach. Golf, where are you? Amen. With all due respect to golf, it's a good car. If God gives me, I'll collect. But that's not my future. That's not my end. It's a relay. Now, there are cars and aeroplanes that are so fast now that a journey of 2 hours can be made 30 minutes. And you think there's nothing about God revealed there? Is it not God that giveth speed? The Lord shall make my feet like the feet of a deer and cause me to walk upon my high places. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings. Even aeroplane has wings. You and somebody left Abuja, the person left in the morning bus, 3 a.m. You waited in the airport till 11 o'clock for your flight, 11 a.m. And you are both on your way to Maiduguri. But once you get on that aircraft, in an hour's time, you are in Maiduguri. Meanwhile, the person who left hours before you is still on the way. They that wait on the Lord shall what? They shall mount up with wings. Then after they have flown, he said they shall run. Because that's how an aeroplane lands. When it lands, it runs first. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk. This is... So when we talk about the will of God, listen here. Everything was determined before anything existed, so that everything will carry their resemblance from Jesus. That when God is done with the earth and every other thing has been completed, Christ will be seen in all things, both in heaven and on earth. So if you must know God, you will need to interact with his will. It is his will that will walk everything in your life together for good. The decisions that God will make concerning your destiny is influenced by his will. So if you don't understand God's will for your life, you may run in haste. In fact, that's a message for next year. You may run in haste and try to put God under pressure, and you realize that God will not be put under pressure. So your wedding is in a month's time. There's no money. You have not paid for reception hall. You have not paid for anything. And God said to you that you will not spend a dime for your wedding. Say, God, Abba, it's just 1 month. Though. You know, we need to plan. We need to get the reception hall. The Bible says he walks every... Go back to that verse 11. Verse 11 now, come on. Ephesians 1. Being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things, including men, according to the counsel of his will. When the time arrives, the will of God is able to manipulate men, systems, and structures. That all that you want to book, and they told you that if you don't book 1 month, two, forget it, you won't have it. The will of God at work in your life, because God has made you a promise that you will do your wedding in that hall. The will of God will manipulate all the staff in that office. That of all the dates they will miss is the date of your wedding. And then when it's just 1 week, two, and somebody says, hey, which hall do you want to use? I want to pay for your hall. You say, there is no hall. The hall I wanted to use, they have booked it already. Or yeah, let's go and check. And you go and say, no, we don't have any hall free. No date again, no date. But wait, we didn't book anybody on this date. Surprisingly, 1 week later, and it's there. Why? It's his will that manipulates everything. You're being here, he manipulated you to come here. It's not flyer that brought you. And those of you that have stayed here, it's the will of God that has manipulated you to stay. This is the God we are talking about. So even the devil, when the devil is attacking you, the devil does not know he has been manipulated to be part of the plan. Even him. For if they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Even the devil does not know he was employed to be part. He feels that his attack is everything. Jesus said, destroy this temple, in 3 days I will raise it up. I mean, the devil is crazy by that statement. Even the devil does not know that he is manipulated to be part of God's plan. God will say, okay, this will happen in his life, this will happen, I will raise him to this point. At this point, witches will notice him. So what will happen is they will want to destroy him. So we'll allow some attack. Let the devil do what he wants to do. Now, this is God planning from eternity. Satan now, who has fallen, he sees that you have risen to a level, not knowing that is, God knew that he was going to attack you. And God allowed it so that attack will now be a license before principalities and powers for God to lift you from that place. So forget about what you are going through now. And it's good that the people that are witnesses to what you are going through are the witnesses. So that when God lifts you, they are the ones that will say, this one no be juju, I know him. Where you see, we've not even gone into the lesson, but at this point, that's why when I see the devil shaking around and doing, sometimes we organize program and at the dying minute, this, and I will just come calm. Why? Because according to his predetermined will, that program was going to lift the name of Jesus. So all these things were not captured in eternity. All I need to do is step in there and in partnership with the Holy Spirit, cause what was written eternity before time to manifest in time. The knowledge of God is systematized into his nature, his character, his ways, his will. Basic facts for knowing God. Basic facts for knowing God. Number one, intimacy is the principal way towards knowing God. Intimacy is the principal way towards knowing God. Intimacy, the principal way. The word principal is from the word principle. It means the first law or the fundamental law. In other words, you can't talk about knowing God if it is exempted from the exercise or from the experience of intimacy. That means relating with God as a person. It means the knowledge of God that brings you into personalized dealings with God. When the God you know is as a person that you walk with, not just a God all of us are serving. When you give mic to somebody to pray, from their prayers you can tell if this person knows God intimately. the approach to the prayer, if the person is not using any systematic approach or looking for words to give a very good address, if you find the person just break into the prayer, you know that this one knows God as Father. Because a child does not need to take permission to enter their father's room. They just enter anyhow. That's why Jesus taught them to pray, saying, "Our Father." Well, in a service setting like this, you can look at the attitude of people, and from their attitude, you will know who knows God intimately. When it is time to worship, if the person will not stand up and lift up his or her hands because everybody is looking at me, it means that this person does not know God intimately. Because there's no need to be ashamed when you already have seen the nakedness of a person. The Bible says Adam and Eve were naked in the garden and they were not ashamed, because there was nothing between them and God. But the moment they fell and their eyes in the natural was open, they became afraid, not even ashamed. So they were hidden from God. So you see Adam trying to answer God's question as though he's reading for an exam. "I heard your voice." When you find that kind of attitude with believers, you know that this one is not intimate with God. There's nothing between him and God. He doesn't know God as a person. He doesn't walk with God as a man walks with his friend. He doesn't know that he doesn't know how to communicate to God. Have you ever, you know, one of our problems as pastors, not our, I mean the problems we face with members. The moment you tell a member, pray about it, just forget it. If he's a guy, you are 80% sure he will not pray about it. If he's a woman, you are 99% sure she will not pray. She will come back more confused. Am I lying? After the service now, you will come and line up. With all due respect to you, doesn't know. Yeah, that's true. That's the reason why as a man you have to be very sure of God before you approach a damsel. Most times when you tell them pray about it, they don't pray. Their prayer will be based on what they see. If they see somebody who loves God and has money, they'll go and fantasize for 2 weeks and come back and say, "I've prayed about it." But if they see a man, no money, no job, but he loves God and is pressing into God, of course, I'm not talking about Bishop. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Is somebody getting blessed? Number one, intimacy is the principal way towards knowing God. In Genesis 17, God told Abraham, "Walk before me." Walk, W-A-L-K, not walk, W-O-R-K. Walk before me. I want to have fellowship with you. Let us get to know each other. He said, "Walk before me and be perfect." Numbers chapter 12, verse 6 to 8. Here was God's testimony of Moses. And I pray that that will be God's testimony about somebody's life. Then he said, "Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream." He said, "Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly and not in dark scenes. And he sees the form of the Lord." That's what it means to experience intimacy with God. Face to face. So you can get to a situation you are confused and you just tell them, "Just give me this night to pray about it." And you are not just making that statement because you will go and come back more confused. But you know where to go and find that God and talk. You know how to talk with him and say, "This issue, how far?" And then he speaks and you hear his voice clear. "No, this is what to do. Don't do this." And you come back the next day and say, "Okay, in this situation, this is what we'll do. God has spoken." How many times in your life have you made decisions based on that? Intimacy is made possible by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's why the Holy Spirit was revealed, so that we can know him as a person. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 14 says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is the love of God. It's not written like that, but that's actually the meaning. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God. But understand this, that the grace is gift. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 that you have been saved by grace, not through faith, which is the gift of God. So the grace of... No. Just go back there. I was explaining something. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is the expression of the love of God. For God so loved the world that He gave. And this expression of love is experienced in the communion of the Holy Spirit. He says, let the communion of the Holy Spirit, in other words, walking with the Holy Spirit as a person, which will now bring you into the experience of the love of God that was manifested in the gift of Jesus Christ. He says, let it be with you all forever. Number two, the knowledge of God is seeded in the revelation of Jesus Christ. The knowledge of God is seeded in the revelation of Jesus Christ. The knowledge of God. You want to know God? You need to understand who Jesus is. The Bible says that He is the brightness of the glory of God and the express image of His person. The Bible says in Colossians 2 verse 9 that in Him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All of God is revealed in Christ Jesus. To know God is to know Christ. John chapter 1 from verse 14 to 18. And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld His glory. His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Go on. John bore witness of Him and cried out, saying, this was He of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. And of His fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. So Jesus was the expression of the fullness of God. And as we get to know Jesus, we are experiencing the grace of God from one layer after another. From one layer. It's like you get into a new house, and the owner of the house is not around, but His Son is around. It is that Son that will take you around the entire house for you to know what the house is all about. Go on, verse 17 now. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. 18, wonderful scripture. He said, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. Now, let me help you understand this scripture. When John wrote this, what he was saying was, prior to the coming of Jesus, no one had seen God at any time. To see God is not just to see God like you look at a man, no. To see God means to have access to the fullness of the revelation of God, because God is a spirit. He's not like men. Men manifest, spirit reveals. If you want to see a man, here he is manifesting before you. You see him 3D, isn't it? You see everything about him. But not so with a spirit. You can't see a spirit like that, because a spirit is not limited like man. There are different dimensions of the expression of a spirit. So what spirits will do is they reveal themselves based on the capacity of that human mind at that time. So when John was writing this scripture, he was not saying that up till now no one has seen God. No. John was saying that before the coming of Jesus Christ, who revealed God in His fullness, no one has had access to the fullness of the revelation of God. Somebody say, but Apostle, the Bible says Moses saw God. It's not see as in see God like this. No. It is see as in accessing the full scope of God. His power, His presence, His glory, His goodness. These are different eternal dimensions of God. No one had captured all of these experiences at one sweep before the coming of Jesus. It was when Jesus came on earth. In that body, you could see everything about God, depending on the aspects He wants you to see per time. Sometimes I wish time can be stretched so we can enjoy some of these teachings. 1 John 1:1. Much later, this is what John will say. He said, that which we have heard, which we have seen, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled. The knowledge of God is seated in the revelation of Jesus. So your knowing Jesus is your knowing God. That's the reason why if you want to express or manifest anything that is in God, the first point of call is the life of Jesus. If it is wisdom, go and study the life of Jesus from scripture. How was the wisdom of God revealed through him? Because the Bible says Christ has been made unto us the wisdom and the power of God. Because God will have you manifest as Jesus. If it is wealth, you will see it in the life of Christ. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches. To receive it. So in the kingdom, you don't make rich. You receive it. Because it is God that giveth you power to get, not to make, to get wealth. So wealth is an inheritance in the kingdom. You don't pursue it. You receive it on the strength of your knowledge of Jesus as the fullness of the riches of God's grace. Don't worry, many years from now, a generation will feed on this message. I'm not just speaking to you now. I'm speaking to your children. 50 years from now, they will look for these classics. And many of them will listen to this message and have encounters. As you are sitting calm like this, many of them 50 years later will listen to it and be caught up to dimensions of the Spirit. Number three, your knowledge of God is based upon your acquaintance with His Word. Your knowledge of God is based on your acquaintance with His Word. Can't know God outside His Word. The Word of God is the foundation, the bedrock, the fundamental pathway to every spiritual knowledge that is divinely approved. Every spiritual knowledge approved by God. Because in the realm of the spirit, there are different kinds of knowledge. There are the knowledge of demons. Demons can teach too. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. It says some would depart from the faith by giving heed to seducing spirit and the doctrines of demons. A false preacher does not just rise like that. Have you ever seen somebody who used to preach good things before? And now he's something, you don't understand him. He's castigating everybody, slandering everybody. The Bible says some will depart from the faith. They were in the faith, but they will depart. Why? Because they have been exposed to demons that can teach them what looks like divine knowledge. I hope you know Satan was once called light bearer. That's why even when you see it in a vision, you must vet it by the word of God. You must vet it by the word of God. You want to marry somebody. Two people are there. You pray and you keep seeing the face of one. Don't believe that vision completely. No. Let's subject it to the word of God. Question is, will I see his name in the Bible? Not necessarily. But subjecting it to the word of God simply means, number one, that you will see in the word of God that God has a pattern of communicating to people. Now that you know God is a God of pattern from his word, check the patterns of divine communication in your life before now. This vision that you see, is it the pattern that God has used? If no, you can question vision. A spirit may have supplied it to you. And if you don't retract your steps, you'll be driven blindly by what you think was a revelation from God that came from a false spirit. And you get married to the wrong man. And it will be disaster. So the word of God is the foundation, the bedrock, the fundamental pathway. Any correct approach to spiritual knowledge that gives you access to the knowledge of God, it must be through the word. Psalms 119 verse 89. Forever, O God, your word is settled in heaven. Message translation. What does it say? What you say goes, God, and stays as permanent as the heavens. That means the word of God is never changing. Verse 96. He said, I see the limits to everything human, but the horizons can't contain your commands. Give us Amplified, give us New Living Translation, then New King James. He said, I have seen that everything human has its limits and end, no matter how extensive, noble, and excellent. But your commandment, which is his word, is exceedingly broad and extends without limits. If the word of God is without limitation, then it means that knowing God through his word brings you to a platform of no limit. You will now know God for who he is, unlimited. What's the other translation? NLT. Even perfection. I like this one. He said, even perfection has its limit, but your commands have no limit. Now, give us New King James. Say, I've seen the consummation of all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. The word of God is the foundation. Your knowledge of God is based on how acquainted you are of his word. That's why you can never get tired of reading the word. You can get tired of reading the Bible, but you cannot get tired of reading the word. If you think that I've read this book 21 times, read again, you'll see something you didn't see. The Bible is not a Quran. Forgive me. With all due respect to that religion, the Bible is not a book of Mormons. It's not the book that Buddhist priests use. It's not a storybook. The Bible is an expression of life. I said that because I didn't know what to say. One book that is relevant through different dispensations, that the beginning and the beginning and the end of all things captured in one book, rightfully predicted. In that book, many years ago, Jesus said, towards the end, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, nations rising against nations. At the time Jesus was speaking, there was peace. But in our time, as we approach the end, we are seeing that happen. That's the word of God. When you go home, read Isaiah chapter 8, verse 16 to 17, verse 20. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 16 to 17. Read it at home. And then verse 20. I think verse 20 says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not of this word, it is because there is no light in them. So use the word of God to judge anything that is presented to you as spiritual knowledge. Use the word of God to judge. Give us that verse 20. Use the word of God to judge prophecy. Use the word of God to judge revelation. Somebody should not just come from anywhere and cook up something to you and say it's revelation. That I want to deliver a lady and I'm touching her mammary gland and I say, it's prophetic. Where is it written in scripture? The reason why many of us are deceived chiefly is because we lack the knowledge of the word of God. So we don't even understand God's pattern of doing things. That you can look at an operation and say, no, this is not consistent with scripture. This is false. Whether he is a bishop or is a pope. So even me now, what I'm saying, you can go home and subject it to the word. And if you find that I'm wanting, let all men be liars, but God be true. Say, if they speak not according to this word, I don't care where they came from. I don't care if they can call your names and phone numbers. I don't care if they can wave their handkerchief and miracles happen. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light. Of course, Satan can appear as an angel of light, but he's not light. Can appear, is not. Number four, knowing God comes with a price. Knowing God comes with a price. Knowing God comes with a price. There is a price to pay for the knowledge of God. You know, I've said it before, that wisdom or attention is the price you pay to gain wisdom. Yeah. Attention is the price you pay to gain wisdom. Knowing God, there is a price that must be paid. It is transactional. Apostle, what is the price? That's the question. You may not know. The price will be revealed based on our individual walk with him. Galatians chapter 3, chapter 5. What did he say in verse 24 to 25? He says, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. He says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That your knowledge of God, the more of God you are pressing into, you will realize that you will be losing out on some things. Then the Bible says, they are the passions of your flesh, your desires. So when you want to know God, you will be constrained on a path that will begin to fight or oppose certain desires and cravings that you had entertained. For instance, God may have to put you on a certain kind of fast in any season that he wants to encounter you. Meanwhile, you are somebody that don't joke with your breakfast. That breakfast at that season will have to be the price. For some of you, to know God at certain seasons of your life, because God requires your maximum attention for the things he wants to show you in the Spirit, he may have to take you out of a job that pays much and bring you into another job that doesn't pay more but gives you more time. It's still the will of God. Before you start crying and say, God, I need a bigger salary, the question is, have you thanked him for the time that you have at least? Is when the salary is small and you don't have time, they are sucking your time and the salary is, but that's when you need a miracle service. But small salary, but at least you have time. Question is, God, who wants me to be wealthy, why did he keep me in this 30,000 naira job that I work from 9 to 1? Did you ask that question before? Could it be that you were to do that job for 6 months, and within that 6 months, that time was the investment you will make to rise into a dimension of spiritual knowledge? And when that knowledge has been perfected in your spirit, it is time for you to manifest it within the confines of a system. God now takes you to a bigger office where they pay you 500,000. Not because of the money, but because you have received training in the last 6 months that will be exemplified for the next 5 years in this job. Even in ministry, most times God does not send you to the place he trains you. Doesn't. He took Jesus to the wilderness 40 days. Did he send him to the wilderness? But he trained him there. And then sent him to all Israel. Many of you in ministry don't even know that you are still in your season. Be careful to rush. Be careful not to rush during your season of training. You don't find too much manifestations during your season of training. That is because God is still interlocking several things in your spirit that even your mind will not understand how much has been captured. So God can give you a fellowship of 10 people and you will remain with those 10 people for 5 years. Unknown to you, the 10 people, that fellowship was not your calling. Forget about the glorious name you gave it. God's Chasers Ministries International. You know, we know how to chisel out all kinds of names. And let me tell you the truth, my brothers and sisters, you have to really scrutinize any call that you think you have from God. Actually, he's even called self. He's not sending. He calls you first, he makes you, then he sends you. Call does not mean go and start. Call means come and learn. So for 5 years, he's training you with 10 members. After 5 years, they have become 5. And you say ministry is not growing. Oh God, you have not even started ministry. You are still training. Let's see how you can manage 10 to 5 people. Maybe what God has in his mind is after you have suffered with 10, 5 people in Maiduguri, God is sending you to Manhattan in New York. Then the scenario just changes. And you are like, God, how do I cope here? That's when the trainings you received here, unknown to you, will now begin to manifest. For we are his workmanship. We are. It's not us that will do the work. We are his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto every good works. That's why God can train a man in a city called Zaria for years. And he's just there. And then he says, move to Abuja. And he moves there, and at once the whole world is hearing him. How? Where did it happen from? Ah, it was a change of seasons. But if you mistake your time of training for your time of manifestation, you end up a casualty. You can die in that. The knowledge of God is with a price. He says that I may know him. Give us Philippians 3. I think we'll end here tonight. Give us Philippians 3 from verse 7. The knowledge of God comes with a price. Are you willing to pay the price to know him? But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Look at this. Go back again. For what things were gained to me, these I counted loss for Christ. Go on. This is transaction now. Yes, indeed, I also counted all things loss for the excellence. In other words, I traded what I had for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. So my suffering, the suffering I went through because I lost many things in the world, was what I was paying, was the price I paid for the knowledge of God. He said, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Go on. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is true faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Five levels he shows you here. Number one, that I may know him. So intimate knowledge of God would take you through these five stages. Number one, that you will know the reality of his person. Number two, that you will see the revelation of his power, right? And the power of his resurrection. Number three, the relationship of his sufferings. These are the simulatory experiences for your knowledge of God. That as you know God, there will be the first class is that you will come to know him as a person. Those are the moments where he will appear to you in a dream. Every night you sleep, you will dream and see visions of heaven, whether you pray or not. When you speak in tongues a little, the presence of God will come and your hand is shaking like this. And you say, my God. Before you know, you go somewhere one day and you touch somebody and the person falls down. Hey! I knew it. I was called into ministry. You are just in class one. The reality of his presence. Class two, the revelation of his power. Hey, every sick person around you is getting healed. You are in class two. But you are operating power, but you are in class two. I just touched her and she was filled with the Holy Ghost. Hey! You know, that's what I hear happening in the university. So, wait, enter class three, the relationship of his sufferings. That presence now lives. No more dream, no vision. 1 month, praying 6 hours. No vision at all. What you will even see is attack, migraine. You say, God, which one be this one? Where? The person will now come for pneumatic after the service. Come and meet Apostle. Say, Apostle, my fire is out. I need fresh fire. Oh, God, go back. You are in a class. It's called the fellowship of his sufferings. That you will now, how will I pray 6 hours and I'm coming down with headache? You will now understand why Jesus prayed in the garden and yet he said, my soul is sorrowful. Why he prayed in the garden yet blood was coming out of his head. So you are not the first person to pray and be sick. Oh, they didn't tell you. I heard of a great man of God. He said one time, every time he had a healing service, that very day of the healing service, he will not be able to use his legs. They will have to carry him into a car and drive him to the place. As soon as he gets there, bam, the legs will jack up and he will walk around. Wonderful healing sessions. As soon as he goes back to his hotel room or his house, he's lame again. What kind of a life is that one? Will that give glory to God? It's called a relationship. All of these things are going to simulate. You see, because when they are training a pilot, there's something they call a simulation room. They will take you there. When you are there, it looks like you are on an aircraft, but you are not in an aircraft, you are just in a machine. You need practical experiences to help you simulate the field of performance. So before God will send you to the nations, He will train you in a place where everybody rejects you. So that affirmation you are looking for from men, you will die to it. And then, whether men clap for me or not, as far as I'm serving God, God now says, hey, now you are my servant. Let's go to the next phase. Because you were doing it so that men will see. But now, whether men see or not, whether they affirm you or not. So you heard about financial dominion. You heard all the teachings of giving. As soon as you started practicing and giving your big, big seed, that's when you started becoming broke. Say, no, something is wrong with this message. Is the relationship of his suffering. God wants to check your heart. Are you giving because you want to get from me, or you give because you trust my word? So that's an answer to somebody who has been giving and you are not seeing anything. Oh God, you are not the only one. That's happened to us. Continue. Just keep giving. Until the day comes when you are not doing it to receive, but you are doing it because you have pledged an allegiance of obedience to his word. Then one day, in one day, all those things you gave, God will bring the harvest and drop it on one day. Most times we rush too much. Recently I was praying and I was broke. In Jesus' name, I was broke. And then in the course of the prayer, God told me, put on your phone and send some money. I say, where the money? But you see, I have learned to trust his word. Man shall not live by a lot alone, but by every word. When I put on the phone, I saw an alert in 6 zeros. Now notice, he said, give money. You know, the problem with people is, in the school of prosperity, you rush your what is supposed to become a seed for the next level, you eat everything. Somebody say, oh God, we want to do crusade. Provide for us. The crusade is in 1 month time. Then God gives you 500,000. You now give 50,000 for the crusade. That's the offering of a fool. You just prayed and say, God provide. God has provided. But you were too stingy to trust God and release all and wait for another one. Because all your life you have been living based on paycheck to paycheck, based on what is in your account. That alert, GT Bank, that column in your SMS, that's what has determined your existence all these years. But man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. So I can be broke and travel, and the resources will meet me there. Did the Bible not say the earth is the Lord's and his fullness thereof? The reality of his person, the revelation of his power, the relationship of his sufferings, the conforming to his death, and then finally the experience of his life. Those sufferings will lead you to death. Is it that you will die physically? No. Death simply means separation. Certain things will be separated from your life. Certain allegiances you have with some people, certain affirmations that you have always sought, God will separate you from them and show you that you can live without those things. It's still death. That's your mother that you love so much. Then God takes her away. Let me see. And all that God is proving to you is that it's not like God couldn't heal her, but God is just saying, with or without her, you have a destiny to fulfill. Men can change on the path to destiny. Men can change. The character of men are not characters in their character, but I mean of men, God using men. He can switch men, but his plan is the same. So if he said this person should help you and the person doesn't help you, actually a man was to help you, not only that person. So if the person refuses, there is a representative, there's a replacement. That's why you will not trust in people. You trust in God. Conforming to his death, certain things will be separated from your life. It's circumcision. Certain things will be cut off. You will learn to live without some things and live with some things. And then Paul says that at the end of it all, I will experience his life. You know what the resurrection of the dead is? It was the life of God that was manifested in flesh. That when that life comes on a dead body, it's capable of raising that body up to become life. The body of Jesus was dead, completely dead. When that life of the Spirit of God came into that body, it resurrected again. I think I should stop here. I wanted to teach on how to attain intimacy. Can I rush that? Number one, salvation. Keys to growing intimately in the knowledge of God. So you want to know God intimately as a person. You want to have a relationship with God. Number one, salvation. You must be born again. To be born again means to be regenerated. A change of your heart. The nature of God is imparted in you. Number two, the work of faith. For we walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. You will need to learn to walk with God by faith. It is faith you will use as far as your relationship with God is concerned. So you will pray both the days where you feel His presence and the days when you don't feel His presence, because you know that by faith He is there with me. He said, for He Himself has said, I will not leave you nor forsake you. So I don't look for a feeling when I get to a place. No, I know that He is there with me. He will show up. You can be praying and preparing for a meeting. God does not talk to you. Don't worry. He says, I will not leave you nor forsake you. Go for the meeting and He will show up there. He said, you will not see rain or dew, but this valley will be filled with waters. So without promise from anybody, you start the building project. Why? Because the just shall live by faith. It's a work of faith. That's one of the keys to growing. In fact, God is more intimate with people that have learned to walk with Him by faith. Beyond the sense realm. They don't need assurance in any way. They don't need promise from anybody. You know, many of us, that's why we have failed many times. God spoke to you, but you wanted somebody to promise you. And the person that promised you is not like God, who has all capacity to fulfill it. See, that's why, don't make promises anyhow. Any promise that you know you can't keep, don't make it. Because sometimes if the jealousy of God sees that you are now becoming a God in that person's life, the jealousy of God can fight you and make you broke in a season, just to prove to that person that God is his God, not the uncle. So that's why certain people you wanted to help at a season, all of a sudden your finances were dried up. I know it can be an attack sometimes, but it could be that the jealousy of God was only fighting you. Maybe you have helped that person too much. The person now looks at you as his or her benefactor. So God says, the only way I can do this is I will block my son from receiving financial resources this season, so that I can create another means for this my daughter, so that my daughter will not trust in this my son, but learn to trust me. May God never allow you to be caught in between him and his child. May you never be found opposing the jealousy of God. Do you understand what I just said at all? Don't worry, go back and listen to it. When somebody asks me for something, I just go to God. In fact, I've learned to do it these days. I will write what they're asking for. I'll go to God and say, God, you know I'm just a channel. You are the God of all grace. If you give me, I'll give to her. If you don't give me, I'll pray for him. Don't put yourself under pressure to do what only God can do for people. Don't make people force you into promises that only God can keep. For by two immutable things, it is impossible for God to lie. But you as a human being, you are limited. Work of faith. Number three, you must acknowledge the Holy Spirit as a person. Acknowledge Him as a person, not a thing, not a force. If He's a person, He moves with you all around. You can speak to Him. Do you know you can talk to the Holy Ghost? How many of you talk to the Holy Ghost? Raise your hand. Unashamedly, you talk to Him and He talks back to you. Unashamedly, raise your hand. I will check. We'll do example now. I'll call you out. I will ask you to ask Him what I'm going to eat for dinner. Raise your hand. Oh, yes. And He can answer that. When he comes, he will teach you all things. You see, the way you are loved is that's why you don't know him as a person. That's why when it's time to pray about something, you end up more confused. You can talk to the Holy Spirit as a friend. Sometimes in my prayers, I sit down, I can be speaking in tongues, but in my heart, I'm talking to him. We're having a conversation. Lord, what are you saying about next year? What do we do in January? Why is this like this? Why is the economy like this? How do we survive like this? How do I do this? And then he will come and start speaking to me. He speaks to me in a very soft but firm way, almost as if his voice is airy. Go to this place. That's how I hear him. Now, the problem is, many of us, have you heard people who will say, the Holy Spirit will say, the Holy Spirit told me to get out from that place. Have you heard people like that? And they tried to frame the Holy Ghost as somebody who is harsh. You see, be careful when interpreting with your mind the speakings of God. Most times, when God speaks, we are interpreting with our mind. You know, your own orientation in your mind. You grew up in a house where your father could say, hey, leave that place. Hey, come here. That was how you grew. That was how they trained you. So now that you are saved, working with the Holy Spirit, you have an already set mind or mental pattern, a thought pattern, that for the Holy Ghost to talk to you, he must shout on you. And then you can, that's an error. You can now communicate that to a generation. So you will raise sons and daughters in the faith like you, who believe that the Holy Ghost is a gangster. Am I helping you tonight by the help? So you see, the speakings of God varies according to the mindset of the individual. To the pure, all things are pure. To the impure, all things are impure. To a gentleman, the Holy Ghost is gentle. Where you meet a rugged man, a rugged prophet, he wants to baptize everybody with palm oil because the Holy Ghost says he must do. Have you seen people who will even threaten you? God said you must come here and do this. God said, have you seen that? That's not the Holy Ghost. That's his mind. You can call somebody on the phone. You dial their number, they pick. But it doesn't mean you are hearing them. In fact, there's the way they do it on phone. Somebody can be speaking to you using another voice. Is that true? Most times, you need to check your mindset in the understanding of the speakings of God. The voice of God becomes clearer as your mind is subjected to constant renewal of the Word of God. That's why the perfection is love. When you grow to understand the love of God, you will now know that the Holy Spirit is loving. You can misbehave and he will say, but I told you not to do it. Anyway, do this now. Not that kind of your Holy Ghost that will keep mileage with you for 2 weeks. Say, the Holy Ghost did talk to me for 2 weeks. It's you, not me. Am I wasting your time? Alright, let's close here. Number 4, the consciousness of his presence. For he himself have said, Hebrews 11:5-6, I will never leave nor forsake you. The consciousness. These are keys to growing intimately in the knowledge of God. The consciousness of his presence. The anointing may leave me and may come on me, but the presence of God is always with me. If I enter a keke napep and I discover they are kidnappers, the presence of God is there with me. And he can get me out of that place. So even in the midst of the kidnappers, the presence of God has shielded and secured me. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow. The Bible says the Lord is your shade upon your right hand. So even among kidnappers, you are protected because you are conscious of his presence. So they move all of you to a bush. You are just there, calm, speaking in tongues because you know you are coming out. In fact, it was because of God sent you there to bring everybody out. Not that you go there and say, hey, when they say, call your relative, say, raise the money, I know one die. What is wrong with you? I thought you know God. You're not conscious of his presence. You tell them, don't worry about these people, I'll be fine. Even if they abuse me or do anything to me, the Bible says the fellowship of his sufferings. But I'll be fine. You people just pray, I'll come out of this place. You walk into an office and one day they say they are planning to sack all the Christians. Ha! You just laugh. Makuria Sabanata. And you tell your brothers there, don't worry, God is about to expose some people. They say they will sack us. They say, God, don't worry. In the midst of the shipwreck, Paul told those men, he said, for the angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve, appeared to me last night. Both one capsized, they call angel. He appeared to me and said, none of us will lose our life. And true to the words of Paul, 276 people were saved, even though the ship was destroyed beyond recognition. Because he's conscious of his presence. Okay, finally they are on the island. And then Paul is gathering firewood. And a viper bites his hand. They say, Kai, this guy is really a criminal. That's why Nemesis has caught up with him here. He survived the shipwreck. But look at a snake. How did a snake catch him? This guy is really a criminal. The Bible says Paul shook it and felt no harm. Have you learned how to shake off the trials and the challenges that the enemy brings? Some bad news are just distractions. If you greet it with thanksgiving. That's a cliche for another day. Somebody goes to the board and say, hey! You get F. You did 300 level and a second semester course. I bet pass them next year. If not, you will come back. Say, who is the highest? Say, now C plus. Oh, Father, I thank you because you gave me an F so you can give me an A tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow now when you are in this situation. You see, the problem is with all these teachings, you don't know how to bring it to bear in your life. You think that the things you are taught are abstract. No. Somebody has an accident and breaks his leg. Say, if God was with me, why did this happen to me? Have you not read that it is written that the Lord has chastised me sore, but he has not given my soul to death? I broke a leg, but I didn't die. The consciousness of his presence. That's the mystery to favor, to divine favor. We went somewhere yesterday to see somebody, a very important person. As soon as we entered, everybody was leading us to the person that will lead us to that person. And eventually, when it was my time to see the person, I had the longest time. All the security, everybody stand aside. I was there with the person. Why? Is it because I have fine face? No. I am conscious of the presence I carry. More than the clothes I'm wearing. There's no need to wear suit when the presence of God is not with you. You know, you guys have been patient. Let's pray now. Hallelujah. I live for Jesus. They have the day. Thank you for your patience, but we have to go. I live for Jesus. There's come one name, the Holy Spirit. I will obey. I live for Jesus. Day after day. Take it down by a tone or by a semitone. Listen. The fifth thing actually is a life of obedience and surrender. You want to grow intimately in the knowledge of God, you must be saved. You must walk with God by faith. You must know the Holy Spirit as a person. Be conscious of His presence. And live a life of obedience and surrender. Even when it doesn't make sense. When you do all these things, you will be like Moses who spoke with God face to face as a man speaks with his friend. Even though God told Moses that you will not enter the promised land, Moses didn't quarrel God. Moses didn't stop interceding for the people. There are people simply because they applied for a job and God didn't give it to them, they've stopped coming to church. Is your Christianity so cheap that you can be baited by the things of this life? What is in 50,000 that God cannot give you? Why can't you be patient till that day? And now you are threatening God because he refused, because the 50,000 delayed. Somebody is serving God and his service to God is now lackadaisic. Why? Because he has a house rent he has not paid. Or he has school fees he has not paid. And God has not provided. And the landlord is on his head now. Or exams have come. Because of that, there is no reason for me to serve God with my all. I'm sorry. That person claims to know God, but he doesn't know God intimately. Because when you know God intimately, you know that being a friend of God is a covenant. Whether you do for me or not, I will follow you. Brothers and sisters, that is true Christianity. That is what will make you the same in the face of abundance and scarcity. Some of you look at me and think I don't have problems. The problems I have, if they put it on you, there are some things I've had to live with, some deficiencies God has had to allow me live with. You pray about it, God is not saying anything about it, but yet God is using you to bring help to people. But it doesn't mean I will stop doing God's work simply because God refused to do. Every time somebody dies of a kidney disease, I cry in my heart. I say, God, why can't you just give me this power to heal people? But whether or not he gives me, I've come to know God as a person. It's like a husband and wife. It's a covenant. Whether you annoyed me last night, we are still husbands and wife. Whether you spoke so bad I felt like slapping you, I didn't, because you are still my wife or you are still my husband. Whether you gave me the money for the bag or not, I still serve you food. You know, there's a woman that they can go on strike. You don't know God. That's your ignorance of God is reflecting in your how you treat your husband, because he didn't give you 5,000. That's why you didn't serve him food with tray, or you serve him food with one meat. If he talk, I will tell and say things don't cost for market. Knowing God intimately. Just use 2 minutes and talk to God. We are done tonight. Just use 2 minutes. Talk to God. Just talk to him. Whatever it is you want to tell him. Talk to him in 2 minutes. My life, thine. I will keep God my life. Whether I'm broke or not, whether I'm poor or rich, my life, thine. Whether he gives me a husband or not, I will keep God. If I keep God, if I keep God my life, to speak in the name of Jesus. The Bible says they went rejoicing, counting themselves worthy to suffer. You see this message? If it is not a reality in the life of believers, God will scarcely have an army to meet when he returns. People will betray God easily. People will deny the faith and leave Christianity easily because of one yet to be answered. Not like God has not answered the prayer, yet to be answered prayer. Because of one promise that has lingered. But tonight God is calling us to a place of intimacy. Put your hands on your chest in 1 minute and say, Father, tonight I come to you today, strength. I desire you. I want to know you. Let the summit of my Christianity be a desperate search for the knowledge of you. I realign my priorities. I repent of my ways. And I ask you in this season, reveal yourself to me. Help me to know your love, to feel the warmth of your embrace. Thank you, Father. I love you. I pledge my allegiance to you, to your kingdom, to serve you no matter what. Whether you bless me or not, my life is for your glory. Amen. Clap your hands and give Jesus praise. Amen. Let me give an opportunity quickly while we are standing. If you are here and Jesus is not the Lord of your life, or everybody standing please, we are about to leave. Maybe because of this teaching tonight, you want to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You want to walk with him. Or perhaps you are here and you need to rededicate your life afresh. By the teaching tonight, you realize what you have been doing with God is not Christianity. And you are ready to make amends with him. Can you repeat these words after me as we all stand? Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I repent of my ways. I believe you as my Lord and Savior. Help me to know you and serve you forever. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you made that prayer with me, God bless you. It's a new walk with God for you from today. Lift your right hand. Let me see you if you made that prayer. If you made that prayer with me, if you made that confession, please lift your right hand. God bless you. I'm seeing a hand. Lift it up. We just spoke about knowing God intimately. Don't be ashamed. Lift it high. Now, please come forward. Let me pray for you quickly. With your hands lifted, come forward quickly. Let me pray for you. New Matter, clap. Give God praise for souls. Keep clapping till they are all out. Amen. Hallelujah. No, we can't end this kind of meeting tonight without making an altar call. Stretch your hands towards them, pray for them. Those of you in front, I pray for you in the name of Jesus, that the name of the Lord will be named upon you. I declare that your sins are forgiven by the authority of God's word. The nature of God by his Spirit dwells in you. And from today you will grow to know the Lord and serve him all the days of your life. May the Lord reveal himself to you in a mighty way. May your life never be the same again. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you for this wonderful decision. Turn left.
If you've been blessed or inspired by this message, you can connect with us by liking our Facebook page and subscribing to our YouTube channel at Sons of Glory Network International.